Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Welcome to the Multifamily Zone, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from the family perspective. Now, here are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey, everyone. This is Julia Barbaro, host of the Multifamily Zone podcast. I am here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Hey.
Hey, baby.
Second time's a charm, girl.
always.
We've got a great guest today,
Julia. Let
me read off. I've got the book, holding the book up for all you YouTubers. Arlene, it should be Pelicane, but we're going to say Pelicane, but it's Arlene Pelicane, is a mom, speaker, and author of several books, including Parents Rising and Calm, Cool, and Connected. She's been featured on the Today Show, Fox and Friends, Focus on the Family, and the Wall Street Journal, and she's also the host of the Happy Home podcast. She lives in San Diego with her husband, James, and their three children. Welcome to the show, Arlene.
Yes. It's so great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
My first question, what did your husband, James, see when he looked into your eyes?
That's a great question. So when we were dating, he said, do you know what I see when I look in your eyes? What do you see? He said, I see the letters AV, your contact lenses say AV. And I couldn't believe it. I went home, popped out the contact lenses, and I was like, oh, what am I going to say? Do say AV on them. And then I thought, he is looking in my eyes so deeply that he can read what's on my lens. And of course, you know, from that day forward, I was like, okay, this is the guy. And that's actually such a great way to talk about this subject is eye contact, is that we used to look at each other as husbands and wives, and then the kids come in the picture and now you're looking at your kids, and then the phones come in the picture and now you're looking at your phone. So eye contact is follow your eyes because they do tell a story.
So why is eye contact so important? In the book, you say eyes are the window to your soul. So let's talk about that a little bit more. And then I'm going to have my wife share a story about listening. So
all you have to do in terms of eye contact is just have the same interaction, like practice this with either a child or your spouse, and like have a script or something, like something you read, and do it one way where you're looking at them, and then another way when you're looking at your feet. Ooh. And you will feel instantly, like when your eyes are engaged and you feel like this person is paying attention to me, this person sees me, this person is noticing my nonverbals. You know, if you're talking to someone, they start to tear up and you're looking at them, you can see that. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at your phone, you're looking down, you're looking around because you're not used to eye contact, they might tear up. You have no idea they're tearing up. You know, so eye contact says, I see you. I love you. It's just a way that God has wired us that when you look at someone and you can empathize with them, maybe you're mirroring what they're doing back to you. You know, it's just a beautiful way for people to feel connected to each other that doesn't cost a dime.
I love about that is you say the biggest gift you can give a child is unconditional love. And that's part of having unconditional love is actually being present, shutting off the phone, closing your newspaper, being present for them and letting them know that you're there for them. So to me, that was powerful. But one thing I had to say is your husband and me, we probably become really good friends because sort of the same thing with the listening. I want my wife to share the listening story because this is very important. Listening and actually paying attention to people, I think, are the crux of what makes a great relationship.
Sure. Thanks, Gino. You know, many years ago, it was probably about 7 years ago, my husband started coaching. He hired a life coach for the first time. Now we had a great relationship. We had a good relationship, but the communication part of it wasn't what it is now. And we've grown so much. But back then, I'm pretty sure I just had a baby, maybe our fifth daughter. And my husband came out from his life coach session and he came and he sat on the couch with me and it was a quiet moment. And he sat super close and he looked into my eyes and he said, tell me, and he asked me a personal question. Mm. And he's looking at me as I was answering. And I have to tell you, I was so uncomfortable. It was so awkward. And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't think this ever happened before. And I thought, this is kind of sad, but at the same time, it was new and it was exciting because it was the beginning of a different part of our life where we connected. 15 years of marriage And we just connected again. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. And where it's what's happened since then is where we are right now. And it's unbelievable. So what one little conversation,
yes,
looking in your spouse's eyes can have is incredible.
Isn't that funny? When you're first dating, you can stare like for hours. Yeah. And then after a long time, you're like, what are you looking at? Do I have like something like me?
And you know what? The communication that we have our bumps in the road. We bought two books. I said, Julie, did you buy Arlene's book?
No, I
didn't ask.
You're like, right. Oh, look, I ordered Arlene's book. I said, Gino, I'm already reading it. I have it in my hand. He's like, oh.
So we got to practice it every
day.
We've
done that a few times, but that's okay.
Arlene, my next question is the thing that really I struggle with is these tech companies, mm-hmm, and they create this technology and they don't even use it themselves. They know they do the harm it does. Can you expand upon that a little bit? Because there may be parents out there that are saying, I'm feeling a little bit, you know, like you said, I'm not doing it right. Everyone else is doing it right. But then when you see Steve Jobs's kids they don't have an iPad, and Google's, they're not using social media. Okay, let's expand upon that a little bit, because it's really
isn't
powerful.
The truth that you can really look at this, mm-hmm, because you think, oh, everyone's doing this. This is the latest, the greatest. And if, mm-hmm, I'm withholding it from my child, like maybe I'm harming my child because they're going to be left behind or something. Mm-hmm. And then to realize, wait a minute, if you have Steve Jobs selling the iPad and then he gets the softball question, hey, how do your kids like the iPad, from Nick Bolton? And he says, oh, my kids don't even use it. And you've got Bill Gates, who doesn't give their kids phones until they're at least in high school. Mm-hmm. You know, you have these former editor of Wired saying that's like gaming crack, the iPad. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to give that to my kids. So you hear that and you think, okay, what do they know that we don't know? Mm-hmm. And I think if you have that, it's very empowering to realize, wait a minute, I'm actually acting like a tech maven. I'm not, mm-hmm, acting like this person who's so clueless. I am acting like the mavens. And that kind of makes you feel good about it. And what I mean by that is that the mavens understand that technology is designed to be as addictive as possible for adults and for children. And so it's designed. The reason I took a woman off, you know, I was doing a workshop and I said, you know, let me see your phone, or you take your phone and show me Instagram. And I said, go ahead. I'll let you during my workshop, just scroll through your Instagram feed and let me know when you're done. And of course there's no done, because, mm-hmm, it's endless, it's bottomless. And so to show people, like, this is designed, mm-hmm, whether it's Instagram, whether it's YouTube, Netflix, it's all designed that it never ends. Mm-hmm. There is no bottom. It is not like the newspaper of yesteryear where there's a front page, there's a back page, you put it down and you walk away. Mm-hmm. Technology not only doesn't have the stopping points, it gives you these rewards that we love. It gives you the power of goal setting, but they put it in your pocket. So not only is it so addictive, you also have to get to carry around your drug of choice with you in, mm-hmm, your pocket. Mm-hmm. So I think once families understand that and can educate their children, hey, look at this, see this YouTube thing? It doesn't have a beginning and an end. It knows exactly what you like. And that's why it always cues up the next thing that you like. It's going to be really sensational, so that you kind of can't resist, like, what's that about? And talking to them about it, say, you know what, that's why we're not going to, you know, do that, because this is really meant to hijack. You know, obviously a 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 10-year-old cannot control that.
So some of the side effects, let's go over some of the side effects of too much screen time. And in your book, I think you'd mentioned the rapid change of it. And everyone's talking about ADHD and our ability to not be able, like the mind of a goldfish where we can't retain.
Right.
And it's, I think it's comes down to watching a lot of these videos and, mm-hmm, what's going on. And it's has nothing to do with, oh, this, they have no, they did, but we're training them in this technology. Yes. That's one of the big side effects. Can you go over some other side effects, negative side
effects? Yes, absolutely. You know, think of yesterday when we watched Mr. Rogers, it's like he was just sitting there very calmly talking to you. That might be a good solution. Like, oh, children, watch Mr. Rogers for a while. Because now, you know, everything is the opposite. It's got, so all that, the quick changes, the use of color, the use of sound, all those things, it's training the brain to look for that next hit, training the brain to look for that next pleasure, that next dopamine burst. And in doing so, then when life doesn't act that way, kids check out, whether it's a classroom, whether it's church, someday it's going to be the boardroom, you know, so kids check out because it's like, this is not as exciting as my other stuff. So in the brain, they're getting these bursts of dopamine, and dopamine is a pleasure. It's good. Pleasure is awesome in small doses. Roller coasters are great once in a while. But when you put your child's brain on a roller coaster every day, on the hour, you know, that brain is going to be fatigued. So there is truly, you know, that those, that dopamine needs more and more and more. So the same half hour show that used to, you know, please your child, now they're like, they want to watch 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And that video game used to please their child, now they want something quicker, more violent, more this, whatever. And so we have to understand that we're giving them this steady stream of dopamine, and we got to be careful. Pleasure can be overdone. And then, you know, they're doing this study with 10,000 kids and they're following them over 10 years. And they're already seeing that kids that are on, you know, playing video games and doing fun things online 2 hours or more a day, that they're seeing a premature thinning of the cortex. And there's a part of the brain with the five senses, and those kinds of things should happen until you're nice, like you're nice, you know, like a very old grandma and grandpa, and you say, you know, it doesn't taste as good as it used to, and I can't see as well as I used to. Those things, that thinning of the cortex that's happening in kids, they see, of course, the body clock, just kids not sleeping on a regular basis because they're being interrupted by social media, by texting, by gaming, etc. And then that blue light, you know, it used to be that, okay, it's dark outside, my body knows it's time to go to sleep. But when you're inside and kids aren't going outside and they're in front of a screen all day, and then it's 11 p.m. and they're watching a screen, their body's all messed up. So there's all these things that are happening that are really harming the brain and the health of our children.
Yeah. One of the things, Arlene, that you mentioned in the book also is the addiction, Yeah. And you know, it's with the children, but it's also with us, with the parents. And we have to remember that a lot of times we're telling them, okay, one hour and that's it. And we're going to turn it off. And meanwhile, we're on the phone and we're scrolling and we're the example for them. And we don't realize it because we're addicted and we don't realize it. One of the things I love is if someone drops the phone or the iPad and it breaks.
You're like, and problem solved.
Finally.
She likes it because she doesn't have to pay for it. It's coming out of dad's money. So it's all good. Keep breaking them.
We'll go next week, honey. But what happens is, I just remember even back 22 years ago when our oldest, we had the DVD. No, we didn't have the DVD. It was a VHS player. Mm-hmm. And we watched the same videos over and over again because Sesame Street was on. And I didn't like Sesame Street because it was like you were talking about, just constant change. And so we watched very calm shows. But she was addicted to certain shows and it broke. And I remember she was just under two and I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Because the TV, we didn't have the immediate, whatever show we wanted back then. It was the best thing that happened. Mm-hmm. And that gave me such a lesson because it's going to be fine. They're going to be upset. They're going to cry. Yeah. They're going to be, you know, how they are as children, of course, but eventually they're 100% fine. And they'll go and find something creative and use their imagination. And when the kids come to me and say, mom, you know, can I please have the iPad? I'm like, nope, sorry. You know, for the day or whatever. They're like, but we're so bored. I'm like, good. Yes. Because that's when their creativeness comes out.
Right.
And the imagination comes out. So let's talk about that addiction and when it's broken by the parent or by falling and breaking the actual shattering of the glass.
Yeah.
That, because you do need to detox. Mm-hmm. So from that moment until they're okay and actually playing outside like they're supposed to be, tell us about that.
Yeah. So think about that addiction, you know, and what it means is, okay, my child cannot go a few days without doing this. Mm-hmm. My child is having trouble doing their other activities. Maybe they used to love biking, but now they don't bike anymore because they're sitting with their computer instead. Mm-hmm. You know, you see a change in their behavior. You see that they're the normal responsibilities that they could do. Now they're starting to lose touch with that. So, you know, not every person who plays a video game is going to turn out addicted. Not every person with a phone, et cetera. But of course, that chance is higher, you know, the sooner you give it and the longer they play it. And so you can think about your child that they could be a casual user, which means, hey, I, you know, played this game on the weekend with my dad for 1 hour and then that's great. And I don't talk about it. And we just play it, you know, 2 weeks might go by and then we play it casual. You're okay. That at-risk person is, yeah, we play every weekend and then every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're like, hey, can we play the game? Hey, can we play the game? Hey, can we play the game? And you're like, no, you can't play the game until the weekends. You know the rules, buddy. And then, you know, you're addicted is, okay, we served dinner 2 hours ago and you weren't there. So I'm sorry, buddy, you missed dinner because you missed it. And so thinking, I think it helps us to understand that every child is different. So don't think of fairness. Don't think of, well, it's fair because you got this at 12. So this one gets it at 12. Every child is going to be wired differently for that addiction. And the thing is, we would never give our child alcohol. We would never give them tobacco and be like, oh yeah, try this. I mean, we just wouldn't do it. But with screens, you know, we do. And the problem with that is if your child has some kind of drug addiction, when they grow up, they can make the choice of, I will no longer do drugs. I will no longer associate with my friends who do drugs, and I'm going to go clean. But if your child is growing up addicted to Minecraft, addicted to video game, addicted to social media, that is going to stay with them their whole working and adult life, that device stays with them. And so that's why it's so important, because it gives them such a huge disadvantage if they leave your house and they're already addicted to a game, already addicted to social media, and then they have to carry that thing around with them all the time. So that's where the urgency is. And, you know, Dr. Victoria Dunkley, she studies screen addiction, and she talks about that it is like a drug. It's a stimulant, not unlike caffeine, not unlike cocaine, that changes brain chemistry. And she would recommend a 30-day detox. So if you see that, like, okay, my kids, they're so irritable, they're so moody, when I tell them to stop, they go crazy, they're not doing their homework, what's happening? You know, the 30-day detox, and it is 30 days without screens. And of course, this is hard with school. So you'd really have to be kind of on your kids about, is this really truly school, what you're doing? And then everything else, you know, you're unplugging. But what you'll find is the body will heal, that, you know, the brain will start to heal, and they'll start sleeping again, and they'll start finding other activities to do. And all of a sudden, 30 days later, you'll be like, oh, this is so lovely, my child came back. And so here, I really encourage you, if you're listening to this and you're concerned that your child is addicted, even though it's so hard at the beginning, those first few days of not having that device, not having that to go back to, you will, if you stick with it, you will be able to see that, oh my goodness, 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in, this is so much better for everyone. And your child, teenager, may actually even look at you and thank you, not the first day, not the second day, probably not day seven, but maybe day 10, day 14, day 16. They may say, you know what, I hate to admit it, but I'm a lot happier when I don't have to respond to every social media post and deal with all this stuff. Like, I'm actually a lot happier. You will most likely find that.
Arlene, can you share some of those warning signs? Irritability,
yes.
Sleeping. It's really important. Let's highlight them. So if a parent's listening to this, they may say, hey, wow, that's going on in my child's life.
Totally. Like, you see your child and mood swings. It's like, where did that come from? So irritable. Loss of interest in their hobbies, the things that they like. They're missing big, you know, milestones. They'd prefer to stay with their device than to be with family members or friends. Maybe they used to have a certain rhythm of hanging out with their friends, and now you've seen, oh, they don't hang out as often, or they play an instrument and they usually play all the time, but now you're realizing, I have not heard those drums in 2 weeks. Yes. You know, so you see changes in behavior. They're not sleeping as well. They're more tired. Look at their nutrition, you know, and what they're eating. All those things, they matter.
I love that 30-day detox. I think we'll do that. Thank you. Yes, my kids will thank you too. Yeah. No, but it's interesting, because you are so right that they will eventually, because we all desire community, family. We all desire that. That was God's plan for us, not the devices. You see people, we go out to dinner, you see the kids on the phones and the parents are talking. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're on the phones as well. And it's so sad, and they're missing out. And that was one thing that we never, ever, still to the point of never, there was no devices during a meal. And we eat together 3 times a day. So we are home.
Right.
It's so we would miss out. I just think right now, and it makes me sad, just how many conversations we would miss out on, the connection that you have. You miss out because of a device. And unfortunately, people are neglecting each other.
Well, Arlene, this is an important question. What does it do to social skills? Because we want our children to grow up to be socially, you know, not awkward. Right. And we're fortunate, we homeschool, and our three-year-old at the time, let's say a three-year-old, she's able to speak to our 14-year-old son, and it's different ages and all. And they didn't have the devices growing up. But what does it do to social interactions?
You know, all you have to do is look around, go to the mall and look at what people are doing, go to a job interview, go to any of those things, and you'll see it. And the brain, like anything else, it's trained to do things. So looking someone in the eye, shaking their hand, asking them a question. Hi, my name is Arlene. It's nice to meet you. What do you do for a living? Do you have children? These are all things your kids can learn to ask other kids, other teens, adults, teachers, and just ask, but it has to be practiced. Yeah. And so first is practiced at home. And then when you go out, restaurant, before you go, you say, okay, you guys, we're going to see the server. And when we see the server, mm-hmm. let's just ask them, how is your day? Mm-hmm. I tell you what, if you just train your kids, and what are you showing? You're showing your kids, we care about other people, and we believe in common courtesy, and we believe in seeing the person. So like when you pick up your coffee from a barista, that you look at their name tag and you say, thank you so much, Jenny, have a good day. And usually they look at you like, how do you know my name? And then of course it's like, oh, it's all my name tag, but you're showing your kids just through regular life. And then you're training them. You can't expect them to know how to do things if you've never trained them. So, you know, before the first day of school, it's like, hey, here's what you might say to make a new friend. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is what you might say if you have a question for your teacher. Don't be afraid to ask the question. Let's go out and practice. And so it's practicing these social skills. And then as you limit the devices, because what's happening is kids aren't forced to do this, because what do we do as parents? Oh, I'm sorry. You know, kids these days. And then we don't tell them to look up from their device or to do anything. You know, kids these days. Yes. And so first it's elevating our expectation of what our child can do socially, giving them positive experiences, practicing, and really showing the heart of it is to show you care about the other person. And of course, employers, if they have someone that actually like looks them in the eye and doesn't check their phone 10 times while they're sitting there during the interview, they're like, oh, how wonderful. And then, I mean, you see these kids and they're waiting behind a cash register, but as they're waiting, they're looking at their phone instead of looking around. And so this is huge. So if your kid can actually look at other people and just stand there without having to look at a device, you know, they're going to be employed and they will be in the manager year one, you know, like things are going to happen that are really great for that child. Yes.
You know, Arlene, years ago, when the phones first came out, I remember it was unusual to see someone on, and I'm like, wow, that's so rude. I can't believe they're on the phone as they're online for the coffee shop or something. I'm like, how, you know, inconsiderate. And now it's become normal and the kids are seeing that, and that's the problem. But we as parents have to teach them confidence.
Yes.
And to say it's not the normal, it's not normal. And it's okay to be different, to stand out and to be the example. Even as a child, you can be an example. I love what you said about teaching them to talk to the waiter, to talk to the person who is serving them, because that is unbelievable social skills.
And then that server, they'll say to you, what are you doing with your kids? Yes. You know, and all your kids said was like, have a nice day.
Exactly. I mean, it's amazing. 100%.
We went out to dinner Saturday night, and there was a young bus kid that came over to the table, and I looked at him, and he was really quiet, shy, was not making contact. I said, what do you recommend here? And he looked at me as if I had asked him or given him $100. And he looks at me, he goes, I like the Tagliolini. I said, Tagliolini. He goes, yes, that's it. And I made an instant friend.
It's so
and
changed.
It completely changed the whole energy. And and that's all we need. And unfortunately, I was only with my daughter, the older daughter, but the younger guys, they need to see that as well. So you're always setting the example as the parent.
You know, I want you to tell Arlene and everyone listening about that Michael was working at the restaurant that time, and he had to go back and say goodbye.
This is a long time ago, Arlene. You know, he was probably 9 years old at the time. So it was a good 10 years ago. And it's the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. And I owned a restaurant then. And he would come and work as a host, sitting people and take money at the cash register. And we had a couple that come in all the time. They're the Bessons, Dr. Besson and his wife. They were sitting down at the middle booth there. So it's about time to leave. And I'm not the most socially extroverted person. I'm like, Mike, let's go home. He's like, Dad, hold on a second. I have to say goodnight to the Bessons and I have to say happy Thanksgiving to them. Oh. And I'm like, dude, you are not my kid, because I would never do that. I don't know where we got that from. And it's some children are born with that innately, right? I don't think, I mean, obviously he's got maybe a great example as a mother. Maybe, but I was so blown away by that. I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that he actually did that.
It really was.
And he went over there and actually Dr. Besson said the same thing. Michael, next time you see me, shake my hand, look into my eyes. It makes a big difference. Yes. So we need to be the role models. That was a great story.
It was beautiful. I love that.
It was beautiful. Yeah, the devices, you know, even when the kids get together and they literally sit next to each other on their devices playing the same game. One time we were visiting my mother-in-law and I actually went downstairs and turned the internet off. And everyone was like, what's happening? The internet. I'm like, oh my gosh. And within 3 seconds, they're like, all right, let's go play. And they all ran into the other room. I'm like, that's all.
A brilliant stroke. Yeah.
You know, I feel like as parents, we think that our children are entitled to a phone because everyone else has one. So let's talk about that, is how to talk to the parents out there who feel like it's just them saying no. Yeah. And their kids are going to be made fun of, or, you know, all of that. What do you say to them?
Yeah. So I love that you said that you feel like they're entitled to have a phone, because that is not an entitlement. That is a privilege, like for you to have it. You know, it's like, oh, look at, you're 12 and you have the same phone as like me and my, you know, as a grown adult. It's like ridiculous. Yeah. So first of all, to realize I owe them nothing but love and to try to raise them as best I can, you know, that's, you don't owe them any kind of device. You don't owe them anything to keep up with the Joneses. And really in realizing that, okay, if we want them to keep up with their friends, what's happening in the world today? Not good things. You know, if 1 out of 5 people are going to have depression, anxiety, 1 out of 5 people are going to be obese, 1 out of 5 girls is going to get solicited online sexually because through social media, why do I want that? And so for you, if you're the holdout and you're the quote unquote mean dad, mean mom, good for you. Good for you. And just find those like-minded parents, you know, that so that their kids can see like, okay, I've got one person who understands me. That's always helpful. And, you know, I have a senior in high school. I have a sophomore in high school. We go boy, girl, girl, and a seventh grader. So Ethan, Noelle, and Lucy, and none of them have phones. None of them have social media. We don't do video games, but we have a ton of tech in the house. So they have computers to, you know, to do their homework. You know, my son plays a piano. He's got a YouTube channel and he puts his music out there. So we have stuff, but we don't subscribe to these things that are more addictive and those personal devices. And guess what? They're fine. You know, so I love, you know, we have a documentary called Screen Kids in Their Own Words, where they answer these questions of like, what's it like not having social media? Or you feel like totally left out as a sophomore girl, you know, my son, Ethan. And he talks about, you know what, mom, there are some people that you'll never be their friend because you don't play a certain video game. But I found that those are really not the kind of friends that are all that important. They're not like your lifelong friends. They're not like, it's not that big of a deal. And he said, the friends that are really like the friends you want to have, they're the friends, they have the technology, they do the stuff, but they don't care if you do it or don't do it. They'll still be your friend and you still find common things. I love that it elevates your kid's circle of friends, even if you will say, you know, we're not going to do it like everyone else. So it is okay. Don't be afraid. I remember speaking once about telling people, don't let them have devices in their bedrooms overnight. Yes. So that was the idea. Definitely. Just don't have the devices in the bedroom. And this very strong looking man like Gino comes up to me and says, I've known for a long time that I should take away my daughter's phone, but I've been afraid.
Yes.
And after hearing this, I'm not going to be afraid. I know it's the right thing to do and I'm going to do it. So parent, when you do this too, you can start with an apology. You know, it doesn't have to be this big, heavy thing, but you know what? Child of mine, I've let you do this. I've let you have this device. I've let you play this game. And I've realized it's not the best for you. And I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I didn't do my due diligence and I'm sorry. So from now on, here's the new rule. I know you're not going to like it, buddy, but I really do want to do it because I love you.
Yeah. Arlene, do you recommend, you know, hold on 1 second. I just have a question. Do you recommend literally taking it away and just cutting it off, or bringing it down to less time? And I mean,
it kind of depends on what that it is. So let's say it's social media to a 12-year-old and you realize that was too soon. Then I say, cut it off all the way. Like this was too soon.
Yep.
Let's try this again in a year and talk about it. But you know, if it's a game or if it's a show as a program and it's just, they're watching too much. Okay, buddy, let's just do 1 hour and let's see if we can handle that.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
In the book, you talk about, you know, some people don't use tech. Will kids be left behind if they don't use tech?
Yeah, this is a great question. They UCLA did this study of 12 people who are on the internet all the time, 12 people that weren't. Mm-hmm. And they scanned their brains, and indeed the users of the internet, they did look different. They could make quick decisions. They saw periphery, like what's on the sides, and they could respond. So they told the non-users, just go on the internet 1 hour a day for 5 days. So they literally used the internet for 5 hours. They came back, they scanned their brains, and they looked exactly the same as the users. In 5 hours, they had learned how to make those same quick decisions, how to look at the banners on the side and how to have the periphery vision, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, as well as I do, that kids learn technology very quickly. You hand an iPad to a 2-year-old and you're like, oh, I had no idea I could do that. So technology is super easy. It's going to get easier. You know, I always joke that kids in the future will just like tap their breastplate with there'll be a little tab there and they'll say, cheese pizza, and a drone will give them their cheese pizza within 6 feet of their bodies. Like, it's just not hard. But what is hard? Reading, paying attention, being appreciative, apologizing when you do something wrong, paying attention in class when you don't feel like it, obeying your mom and dad when you'd really rather play, self-control. That's hard. Yes. And that can't be taught in 5 hours. You know, so if you take a child who, you know, I always joke that, okay, Ethan didn't grow up playing video games. But if you say, Ethan, my firstborn, play video games, he's going to be just fine. He's going to have a great time. But if I take the same kid who's been playing video games for every hour Ethan's been reading, and I say, here's the Bible, or here's a book, you know, here's a book you're super interested in, whatever it is, here's a book, read it. How long is that kid going to last? Right. So, you know, people say, oh, 5 minutes, 10. I mean, it's not going to last that long. And so technology is going to be super easy for our kids to pick up on, but the life skills, that's going to be so hard for kids to recover.
And part of the problem with everything being super easy is that when you want to become an entrepreneur, or you want to do something like write a book, like Arlene has done, it's going to be very hard because the instant gratification, there needs a lot of work, because we're all taught to work smart, but you first need to work hard and then work smart. One thing, Julia, we've had Dr. Chapman on the podcast. I'd love to go into the five love languages. He goes on his podcast. So if you want to listen to Dr. Chapman's podcast, we did one
a
couple months ago, do that. But my question, my next question before my wife, any tips on incorporating tech safely? I mean, we've got the kids, we've got them on, how can we get it incorporated safely into their lives?
You know, and this is the idea of digital vegetables and digital candy. So digital vegetables, those are the things that your kids never get in trouble with. Oh, look, you're learning another language on your iPad, you know, that's great. Or, oh, wow, you're Skype. These are things you're never like, oh, what are you doing in the middle of the night? I'm Skyping grandma. I mean, they're not doing this. So vegetables are the things, these are the positive uses of technology. And so that is FaceTiming a family member. That is staying in touch with grandma. You know, I heard beautiful stories that, of the pandemic, of grandmas FaceTiming their little kids and doing little puppet shows and like talking to them and reading books to them. Like, those are really lovely things you can do with technology. They're never addictive. They're never like, oh, like you just have to, you never get in trouble for it. And that's kind of how you know the difference. So those digital vegetables, and you ask the question, is this technology bringing us together as a family, or is it slowly tearing us apart? And those digital vegetables will bring you together. Maybe you're sick and you have to go to church and you watch it online instead. So that's something that, like a digital vegetable. You're learning a skill and you want to, you're learning an instrument, and that's a digital vegetable. These are good things. You can also ask the question, are they creating something, like learning how to create something by using this technology, learning a skill? They're learning how to change the oil in the car. You know, they're learning how to paint. Or are they simply consuming? I'm just watching people skateboard instead of going outside and actually learning
someone play a video game.
Yeah, I'm just watching.
That was mind blowing. I'm like, wait, what? You're watching someone play a video game?
And you get paid. Get paid to do this. Like, what?
I agree.
It's amazing. One of the things, like you're both talking about it before, is the quick decision making.
Yeah.
It can be good at times, but most of the time in life, we make quick decisions and we make the wrong decision because we don't discern, we don't pray, we don't think about it. We don't communicate with other people, get their advice, get their wisdom. Yes. And I think the kids are confused because they're like, oh, I got to make a quick decision right now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. And that's so important. So the screens are teaching the kids to not do that and to just make any decision that comes to mind because they want it right now. They don't want to think about it.
The hastiness of it. Yes. That's the main thing. Like, I need to do it quick. Yes. I need to do it now. Yes. And then you think like, okay, when you are choosing a career or you're deciding yes. like who to follow, like who to put your faith in, am I going to yes. follow God? Am I not going to follow God? Right. What kind of spouse am I going to have? All those things. Those all are not quick decisions. Mm-hmm. They're, it's a process. Absolutely. And a lot of times because everything is so instant, you think, oh, if it didn't instantly resolve, mm-hmm. yes. I might have all this trouble.
Right.
But so much of life doesn't instantly resolve. I was mm-hmm. talking to my friend, she's a psychologist, Dr. Jennifer Degler, and she talked about so many people have anxiety and depression mm-hmm. because with a device, it's like a certainty device. Mm-hmm. If you don't know, like, what's the capital of Iowa, you know, yes. you can check it and it will tell you. It's like, yes, nice to them. And so it's this certainty device yeah. that right. if you have a question, it just answers your question. Yes. And we get addicted to this feeling of like, I want it to be safe and secure. Yeah. I want to know the answer. So my phone provides all those things.
Yeah.
But life is full of uncertainties and we're exactly. not used to that. And that's why we are getting so out of balance.
Well, I even challenge everyone, go for a walk without your phone. Yeah. A lot of people literally cannot leave the house without the phone because something yeah. is going to happen that they need to know about. And it's not good for us as parents.
The other thing yeah. you can do is you can marry a smart person. And I have a shirt that says, I don't need Google.
That's right.
I got my wife. So.
I've got Julia. I'm good.
If I say something sounds smart, then they're like, oh, okay, mom. That must be the answer.
Arlie, let me ask you, one of your favorite books you've read?
How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Ooh. Carnegie. So we like that one. That's a book that we make our kids read. And so just how do you treat other people? It's a classic, wonderful book.
Love that.
That is one thing that we really need to get back to.
What is one good habit you do daily, weekly to, you know, juggle the busy life?
Yeah.
Author, speaker, mom. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Two things come to mind. One is a moms in prayer meeting. So mm-hmm. basically the moms in prayer, the idea is two praying moms for every school. That's their mission. Wow. So for me, it was like, oh, all three kids, my kids are in public school. I want to be praying for them. Mm-hmm. So all the way, Ethan now is a senior. So every week that they're in school, since he was in first grade, I've had moms and it's waned, you know, at our best, we'd be wow. four moms and at our worst, we'd yeah. be just me. You understand. So I'm not talking, it's not this huge yes. thing. Like today there was one other mom there, but knowing that once a week, we're going to pray specifically for our kids. That's been awesome. Like, and it's a rhythm.
Beautiful.
Cause you know, I'll say I want to pray, but Lord knows I don't pray because it's yes. not on the calendar. It's yes. not the time, but this really sent simplified it for me. So one was a moms in prayer meeting through the years. And then the second was something we started doing during COVID. My husband loves to be active. And so he loves ultimate frisbee, which is kind of like, it's like running. It's like football with a frisbee. Mm-hmm. And so every Sunday afternoon, we play ultimate frisbee in the park. And it's this open invitation to other families.
Oh,
and there's always someone there. And so every Sunday, everybody's playing, everybody's sweating, everybody's making memory. And so things like that, I think, have really kept us happy mm-hmm. and growing. And we've always thought we wanted to be the parents that did stuff with yes. their kids mm-hmm. and not just watched our kids do stuff. There's nothing wrong with watching your children. You know, we watch our kids do stuff too, but we wanted right. something where we were like doing it with them.
Yes.
And so we're always looking for something like that.
Those are the best memories ever, aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, love it. Love it.
What is one project that you're excited about?
I am excited. I'm working on masterclasses actually for this exact book, Screen Kids. So someone could read the book like you guys have. And if they just say like, I just want this to go deeper into mm-hmm. my heart, or maybe mm-hmm. I want to do this alongside of a mom's group or a dad's group, parents group, whatever. And so I'm developing a masterclass where people can watch either they can do it as a daily 5-minute video and do it for a month, or they can do it weekly and do it, you know, for 20 minutes and watch it in a small group and just go deeper into the book. So that's what I'm working on now. And I'm super excited about that. HappyHomeUniversity.com. HappyHomeUniversity.com.
And that's how what technology should be utilized for, something like that, to make your yeah. life more efficient, yes. to add yeah. to your life, not mm-hmm. to take away from your life.
Yeah. Yeah. I always joke that no one's going to be in the middle of the night like, I got to watch that next Happy Home University. It's not. It's going to be a vegetable. Oh. It's going to be good for you.
Yes.
Arlie, what is the big message that you want to send to the parents out there? They don't have support.
Yeah.
Everyone else they know is like, no way. I can't do it. Yeah. It's easier to have them on the device so I could do what I need to do. And here yeah. I am scrolling as well when I'm not, you know, yeah. what, tell me.
Yes.
Because it's so important.
have courage. You know, we think, oh, we're living in the most difficult days to parent because of technology. And yes, they are hard, but I always think, like, you know, those Bible days where people are like persecuted and thrown into lion's dens and thrown into fiery furnaces. I think like that might be a tad bit more stressful.
I agree.
So I like to just kind of put it in perspective that, you know what, we can do this. Yeah. Like God is with us. We can do this. You can live differently. And if you will do it hard now, you will have it easy later. Yeah. Your children will know that they're loved. You would have had time to develop a relationship. I think that's the hard thing, is when they're from, you know, birth to 10, mm-hmm. those kids, they hang on your every word. They want to know what you do. They want to be like you. And if we squander that because we're on our device and they're on their device, then later in the teen years, we want to connect. Your teenagers don't even know you or want to know you, you know, and then you've lost that. So we have that crucial window during childhood that we have to develop that relationship so that when they are out of your house, they still want to be with you, that you have that kind of relationship. And that relationship is best forged without technology. Mm-hmm. And that's why you've got to have the courage to say, we're going to do it different, because we want easy later. Exactly. Because if we pick easy now, then we have to pick hard later. And that's not going to be
fun. It takes effort. And that's, I think that's probably a reason why people don't do it. It's constant effort that now we have to, you know, this sounds terrible, but now we have to hang out with the kids and now we have to entertain them. And I think it's a babysitter for us. And that's unfortunate, but it's just the reality.
It's just the truth.
It really is. But we are their everything. And like you said, we really need to be their example. And in order to do that, we need to be the parent, and we know what's best for them. And it's okay. Have courage. Everyone listening, have courage. Yeah. Do what you know is right.
Arlene, where can the listeners get a hold of you?
You can go to happyhomeuniversity.com and you can check that out. And I also have the Happy Home podcast. So my master classes will be at happyhomeuniversity.com. And then my podcast is called The Happy Home.
Yes. Arlene, I want to really personally thank you for writing this book. I know how much work was put into it, how much thought, how much research. This is such an important topic. And before I got the book, I knew it was something.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh, when I read it, this is bigger than
and that means so much to me, Julia, because I think of you and Gino and the leadership you provide to your family and to so many other families and how you're showing the way. And so to know that you know about screen care makes 100%. Me so happy. So I'm important. So thankful.
I just ask all the listeners to get the book and read it and do something. It don't just have a thought, oh, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll one day do it. Do it now. Don't wait, because our children are growing up in the world and they're going to be adults in the world eventually. Mm. And you know, we have a daughter that literally just left today to be a missionary up in Georgia, 22 years old. And it's incredible. God has this great plan for her. And I'm so excited for her. She was never addicted to all this, but we all hung out together. And it makes a difference. So I just encourage everyone, really do something.
So Julie, a couple of things. Yeah. It's never too late to start with your children.
Definitely not.
Yep. Buy the book for one reason. I got really angry reading it. And you know, it just angered me. And we don't act when we're afraid. Yes. We act when we're angry.
That's so good.
It's true. I got mad. I'm like, okay, what are we doing now?
Yeah.
And for us, we're singing opera. We're doing different things. Do different things with your children.
Ultimate frisbee. Like you said, ultimate frisbee.
All
of us are literally taking Italian opera lessons together.
Oh my goodness, that is so awesome.
The most awkward. Like, what are we doing?
Hysterical. You know,
we laugh at each other. It's very, just so different. And eight of us. So we could literally my son will play the piano and we'll all sing. Everyone look into it because it's so fun.
But the tech is great. Awesome. I mean, but let me tell you
something together.
The tech is great because we're pulling up Old Solar Mio lyrics and I want to hear him singing it. So this is not a bash tech podcast. This is a use
absolutely
tech positively and learn how to utilize it.
That's
exactly. Right. So we want to thank you for being on once again, Screen Kid. Seriously, get angry, buy the book. You're gonna love the book and it will make you take action because you are all responsible. Everybody listening to this podcast is an entrepreneur, is a family member, or they know somebody who's going through it. And Screen Kids is important because it's not gonna go away. Mm-hmm. It's only the problem is only going to get worse, but we can take control of it on the front end. And we are living in an amazing time. Let's not blame 100%. Tech or anything on it. We have the option. We have the all the knowledge out there. We just need to tap into the knowledge and take action. So just want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I love it. I've never heard anyone say like, get mad and buy the book, but I like that. That is good stuff.
Only from my husband.
I'm learning how to be a better marketer. I got to get to become a better marketer. Maybe I should throw the book and rip it and go, I'm really angry. But really, I mean, I'm being completely honest.
We make those decisions. We actually take a step when we get mad and frustrated.
Yep.
You're right. Fear actually will hold us back. Mm-hmm. But when my husband gets mad, everyone watch out because he is going to do something.
That's
something
right.
Good. Something good.
Thanks, Arlene. We appreciate
Thanks so
it.
Much.
Take care.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.